Jake Ling as our guest a little bit more. We'll have him back up sometime in the future to do a more in-depth deal. Jake, I've said I think you have courage. I've posted your stuff over the years over. I like it. I'm mad at you. I think you're being a little contrarian when I'm like, okay, you're going to try to get people to go to Minnesota. How do they rally to that? How do they talk to you? You know, where do they sit? We know you're in the streets, obviously. And you're like, I'm in the streets. You know, and I'm like, that's it. So it just seems kind of like you're wanting to argue with me when there's no argument. I think in diplomacy here, we're overall on the same side. So is the only place to find you on X where you said?
I'm obviously on Instagram, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, everywhere. You know, now that President Trump's in office, we don't have a freedom of speech lockout.
I mean, I'm still banned all those places. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm glad you're there. That's good.
Yes. And, you know, I'm not meaning to be contrarian. I'm pissed off, Alex. This is what happens when you murder Charlie Kirk. You get a bunch of pissed off white guys that, you know, step up to bear the torch to continue his work. And, you know, not everybody's going to be as cordial. You know, when diplomacy fails, Alex, which is what we're seeing here, then you get this zombie-like liberal reaction to trying to eat somebody alive. I'm trying to exercise my First Amendment right. Talk about the brownification of America and Europe. And I literally am trying to rip limb from limb by a group of liberals and brown people. And it's disgusting to see that, you know, white Americans are now put as a second-class citizen where we have to be afraid of speaking about our own replacement.
I know. Listen, I'm not trying to be contrarian. Disgusting. I want you to have the floor, and I want to have you back because it's interesting. And I get you're pissed off. You could have been killed yesterday. And I see you have a lot of courage, so I admire that. I'm like serious, like 90% white is trying to kill you. I was like, you know, I'm just saying, what's wrong with these people? And like, you can't just blame them. I mean, I'm trying to blame. Why is it the white people doing this now?
Well, like I said earlier, you have this woke liberal mind virus that is teaching these people. I mean, you have your 1619 project, right? All this stuff in the school system is teaching that our ancestors were oppressors and slave owners and horrible people. And the people who founded America were disgusting people. And that's why you have these absolute crowds of indoctrinated youths coming out of colleges. You know, I've had family members that they grew up in Christian schools, go through college, and then all of a sudden they come out woke mind virus liberals, and some of my best friends as well too. So we have institutions that are, you know, literally turning these people into like infected zombies that are willing to destroy their own race, their own religion, their own ideologies, the things that built them to make them the man or woman they are today, and tear down those systems to replace it with mongrel Islamification. They want to bow down on those prayer rugs for some reason. They're race traitors. They're disgusting to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a fetish. It's like they're being cucked or something. And it's definitely healthy just to say screw it all.
It's a humiliation ritual.
Wow. So they tried to stab you too, but it didn't go through your body armor.
Yeah, there were so many attacks happening all over the place, but I literally felt like the clinking of metal on metal, and my plate carrier had like a tear mark, like a stabbing mark in it later that we see, because I had to flee through a hotel and I did the old switcheroo-ski. I ran through a hotel, went out the back door, took off my plate carrier, threw it to the side, threw my hoodie on, and was able to escape into another Good Samaritan's car. And they took my plate carrier, you know, announcing like they got, you know, like the head of Goliath, and touting it around. And you can see there's a large tear right on the center mass of the plate carrier that was like certainly a knife, and I felt it. There was just sadistic people in the crowd that were trying to hurt me. They took my fingers and wrenched them. I have a couple broken fingers. They literally were like taking my fingers and trying to crunch them, kicking me, spitting on me. They stole my watch, my speaker, my vest, my microphone, everything. They tried to pickpocket me. I mean, this was literally a ravenous group of animals that has been brainwashed by the woke lefties.
I believe you. So let's come back and talk about where this is going next and what you want Trump to do, what you think America should do. Jake Ling's our guest, back in 60 seconds.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
No mistake, the second American Revolution has already begun, and the information war is more critical than ever, so people understand the battle space. But being on the ground at every level, in your schools, in your city councils, in your county commissions, in your school boards, on the street, whether you're just a camera person getting the footage, the intel, or whether you're somebody leading a demonstration, everybody has a big part in this now. And this is the attempt to take down the West, because the West and its ideals, though imperfect, are vastly better than any other culture before and stand in the way of the globalist transhumanist Great Reset. But we have a lot of powerful allies, a lot of powerful people are waking up and joining us, a lot of average people who have the real power. It's a very exciting time. So Jake Lang, who survived, who I can only admire, you know, your courage. I said, you're still on Access to say what you want about this guy. You get attacked a lot, but he has a lot of courage. It's like Private Joker, silly and is ignorant. I'm not saying you are, but that's what they say in Full Metal Jacket, but he's got guts, and guts is enough. Let me just give you the floor in the next 5-6 minutes to say whatever you want about what you're doing, what you think Trump should do, what you expect's going to come next, because you have definitely been in the lion's den.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate that. You know, and I already have laid my life down for this country. For 4 years, I spent in prison after January 6th. I tried to save lives at the Capitol. I tried to stand up against a stolen election. I spent 900 days in solitary confinement, and God saved me from that incredible tribulation through the hand of President Trump. And I know that God saved me for a purpose. And I know that the things that I'm doing out here, the activism to trying to reclaim a white Christian America, which is what our founding fathers had envisioned for our country. They said, and they wrote in their Declaration of Independence, for our posterity, for the posterity of their children and their great-grandchildren. And I want to make sure that the beautiful suburban kind of idealistic America that I grew up in, because I've been so blessed in my life, will be there for the next generation and the next generation after that. I see pictures out of these preschools in Minnesota, and all of the kids are brown and they're all wearing burkas. And it's not the same America. It is the world you grew up in, Alex, and the world I grew up in. I'm only 30 years old, and the demographic shift and the ideology shift has been so drastic, is no longer existent. We don't have the same world, and we need to fight to make sure that our children have a future in this country, that they will not be made DEI second-class citizens through things like affirmative action. They're hiring only, I mean, Fortune 500 companies, the last 90% of hires in the last 10 years are all DEI, no white men allowed. And so we're being replaced in the classrooms in our colleges, in the boardrooms in our businesses, in the bedrooms through the absolute psyop of the interracial phenomenon that they're doing on every single Netflix show. A white girl ends up with a black guy. It is all a controlled psychological operation to the destruction of white civilization, because like I mentioned earlier, we just vote differently. That's at the end of the day, we vote for small government, pro-liberty, pro-family values, pro-Christian values. And you can ask Grok. This is not a, you know, a taboo subject. Just type in AI, What would happen in the 2024 election if only Spanish women voted, or if only Jews voted, or if only any other identifier, any other race other than white men? It would have been like a 40 to 50 state sweep in the Electoral College if only other races voted. And so that's why they're pumping our country with all of these mongrels and foreigners, because they're a controllable class. They come from totalitarianism. They do not have freedom baked into their bloodline like we do with the Magna Carta and the French Revolution and the Age of Enlightenment and everything that happened in Europe to give the American people, the white European people that moved over here, that same like internal gumption to have freedom at any cost. They're replacing us with people that do not care about freedom. And that's what I'm standing up against. I don't hate any culture. I don't hate any race. I don't hate any people. I will go visit them in their homes. I will sit down and eat dinner with them in their homelands, and I will enjoy their culture, their cuisine, their music, all the things that make them a people. And then I will in turn invite them to my home to visit, to enjoy the white Western European culture that we have created. But do not tell me that diversity is my strength and multiculturalism is how you get to have a great Europe, a great America. It's because we're seeing rampant crime, rampant rape, the replacement of a people. And it's disgusting to me. And it's driven me out to the streets. I am a man of action. I will not just sit here and podcast. And, you know, shame on all of these so-called right-wing podcasters that share, align with me on all the same values. They speak out constantly against white replacement. They speak out against the same things I do all day long. They're partying, getting drunk in a nightclub last night when white Americans are being lynched on the streets. And so, you know, I think the dichotomy needs to shift drastically from who we revere in this movement. No longer if you're pro-Israel or against Israel, if you're pro-Palestine, against Palestine, or all these other schisms, right? We've seen like the Ben Shapiro versus Nick Fuentes and all the two different camps.
Hold on, we got breaking news. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Hold on, get the video. God, I was just talking to Nick Sordo 2 hours ago. Nick Sordo just got drugged by a vehicle. Insane Somali thief just stole Nick Sordo's camera and drove off, dragging Nick along with it. Pray Nick's okay. This is a kind of lawlessness. We do not need the USA to port them all. Let me be clear. I was not Jake Lang out at partying last night. This is all I do. But a lot of people you're saying are partying.
I'm talking about the right-wing influencers that are currently allegedly carrying the torch for us and, you know, waging this culture war, which I agree with them on. But I have a new classification in this movement, and it's either men or boys. People that are willing to lace up their boots, get their hand dirty, and take back this country. They're willing to be sharp-minded, focused, and attack the problem at its core. Or other people that just want to criticize and podcast all day, and they want to be womanizers and live this degenerate lifestyle out there clubbing and partying and stuff, while men are being drugged through the streets, being dismembered. I mean, they literally ripped my pant leg off me. It felt like my leg was going to rip off my body. They ripped my clothing apart, trying to tear at me like a bunch of hyenas. Well, you have this classless degenerate, and half of them aren't even white, first of all, group of men that claim to be standing up and supporting the same value system of American right-wing conservatives. I have to throw away all of the trash out and say we need a reset. It's either men or you're a boy. And these alleged men, which are acting like boys, while white Americans are putting our life on the line, trying to support ICE, which is the mechanism we use to cleanse our country of all the illegal immigrants, while we're out on the ground supporting ICE, these people, these feckless, spineless grifters, are out there partying their asses off. Not one of them, you know, makes a post.
All right, Jake, you made your points. We're glad you didn't get killed. I think that people have come to Nick Fuentes' house to kill him. He's done a lot of rallies. He was there on J6. I think at the end of the day, to say that, I mean, are we ever allowed to go out and have a good time? I really don't. But I just think with all that's going on and all that's happening, I think you're really angry. You feel like more people should be involved, more should join you. I think that is the case. So I get where you're coming from. I just don't know if it's front and center. Well, let's talk again.
They don't even send a retweet. They don't even send a retweet to be like, hey, go show up at Jake's event. Make sure this man is not alone being ripped limb from limb by rabid liberals. They can't even share a platform. So all these people, then they act surprised when a lone American patriot is ripped limb to limb by violent Marxists, because they're all gatekeepers and they all want to just have their little piece of the pie.
Sure, what do you think of Nick Sordor and Nick Shirley? They're out there putting skin in the game.
Of course, and those are my brothers, and that's the classification I'm talking about. But those are a different type of people too, because those are not necessarily right wing influencers. Those are journalists, Alex, and so you have very few right wing influencers, activists, whatever you want to call them, that actually are espousing their political beliefs, not just covering the events in which these things happen, but openly advocating for their own political beliefs and social beliefs.
All right, Jake, we'll talk to you soon.
So that's the difference.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for joining us. Glad you survived. Very interesting and a lot of courage. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. I was about to hand the baton to the great Royce White. And we're going to do that here in a moment. But I just learned that Nick Sordor, we're going to play this footage, got mugged and robbed of his camera, got caught up in the car with a Somali and got drug off. So leftist thug steel journalist Nick Sordor's camera, hop in a car, drag him down snowy city sidewalk for documenting Minneapolis mayhem. I mean, Trump's got to declare the insurrection now. Let me call Soror while we play this clip. Here it is.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
Okay, it's okay.
She took Nick's camera.
She just stole Nick's camera.
Give him the camera!
Just tell her to give him the camera back.
Nadima! Give him the camera!
What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Right out of your...
Motherfucker, you a coward, hey, bitch!
You have to leave!
You're a fucking coward! Get the fuck out of here! Bitch!
Look at this scum. You're a fucking coward, motherfucker! All right, that's too much cussing. Let's fade this down. Wow. Wow, these people are just absolute trash. Royce White responding to this. RoyceWhite.substack.com. Born and raised in the Twin Cities. Very successful. Went against the system. Running for high-level government yet again. We should all support him. He's currently a professional athlete, an NBA player, mixed martial arts, author, political activist. Outspoken issues such as medical health, the Uyghurs, CCP, cryptocurrency, the Federal Reserve, the fight to save our republic. Royce White on Substack.com. Find him on X as well. Royce, wow, what do you do to make a Sordor? All the craziness, the Jake Lang stuff, the Insurrection Act. I mean, wow, what we're seeing in Minnesota is the left is taking their hatred to the next level, beating up people wearing American flags, randomly beating up IT workers because they look like ICE. I mean, and it's happening not just there, but in other cities. This is crazy. Royce White.
Yeah, might be the first state of the second Civil War. I've been saying it's the belly of the beast for a long time. It's the focal point of, American politics. And, I'm just disappointed. As a Minnesotan, I'm disappointed and I'm, concerned, is putting it mildly. And honestly, President Trump should just declare the Insurrection Act. I mean, let's just get to it. And, Governor Tim Walz, he's calling the National Guard in, saying that they need to help the local police. I mean, they're setting the stage for Minnesota. And it's ironic. I mean,
yeah, let's be clear. They have the police standing down. He called them out Friday so he could have them stand down.
Right. And nobody would, even after 2020, and we were right on the brink of it in 2020 as well, and that's why I went out there like Jake Lang said, and yet be in the streets. And I was in the streets, and a lot of conservatives criticized me, say, well, why did you lead these peaceful demonstrations? Hey, people are gonna exercise their First Amendment rights. A lot of people are mad about a whole host of different things. I'm going to talk about that as I take over the show. But people are deeply upset because the government has been screwing us. They are scamming us. We all know that. We talk about the globalist elite and their agenda all the time. So they are scamming us, but I think people have been brainwashed to have displaced anger. And a lot of people are just nihilistic and have self-hatred that they're, projecting onto their politics.
I agree. What do you think of Don Lemon celebrating attacking a random church?
I mean, what would you expect from a guy like Don Lemon, who talks about white supremacy and bottoms for a white man? Of course, he's, you know, disanchored from reality. You know, a lot of these people aren't even living in reality. I'm what I was going to say is, after 2020, you would have maybe thought, hey, Minneapolis is a tinderbox. But people still, even after 2024, people still, Minnesota, what's going on in Minnesota? What's so special about, why does Minnesota keep coming up? Powers and principalities. I mean, this is the center of the deal, in a lot of ways, for a lot of different reasons. So I'm disappointed and concerned. I hope President Trump declares the Insurrection Act and we can get this calmed down. Now, I will say, I think people are going to start to calm down anyway, because truth be told, they're in on the scam. That's the great gaffe here, Alex, and you and I talk about this, you know, often, is these people want to be a part. They desperately want to be a part of the same system they say is guilty. So their anarchy can only go so far.
Well, that's, I mean, right. Eventually, they're going to burn out. Because of fraud's coming out, and now it's been proven that it's there, all these go. Managers using the Somalis, right, above them.
They will do anything necessary. They will do anything they possibly can to avoid from looking in the mirror and acknowledging the very people they voted in stole from them. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight on the show. So,
all right, we'll take over, my friend, Royce White.
Thank you, brother. Godspeed to you. Continuing on right there. And I agree a lot with a lot of what Jake Lang was saying. And people could say, oh, well, you know, he's talking about race and replacement theory, and you're black. Yeah, yeah, and my grandmother was Norwegian, first-generation immigrant from Norway, blue eyes, blonde hair. And a lot of these people in the streets would say that she's evil by birth. And that's why I don't really play to the race game, but I also don't shy away from it. I said the other day on X, and I said on Real America's Voice, race will be the default. Race will be the default they go to when all else fails, when all of their other political propaganda loses its momentum. They will default to race. And that's what you're seeing play out there with Jake, and that's what you're seeing play out there with Nick, and that's what you're seeing play out with President Trump in this conversation about illegal immigration. And there's a clip I went back and saw from about 8 years ago where Rachel Maddow made the claim that immigration policy as a whole is rooted in racist eugenics. So this isn't just starting by any means. It's ratcheting up. It's hitting a boiling point for sure. But it isn't just starting. This thing has been in the works for a very long time, that nationhood and citizenship and sovereignty would be attacked by a broader political propaganda that says all of those things are inherently racist. And that's why race is important for us to talk about. So people may get uncomfortable with what Jake is saying, but on two fronts, yes, race is an issue that we have to be willing to discuss. And also, being out in the streets, I couldn't agree more. Now, in fairness to him, I know he's here in Minneapolis, and a lot of us were mortified to see what took place with him and being drugged through the crowd. And on first glance, I mean, I would have, you know, it wouldn't have shocked me if he hadn't made it out of there. That's how out of control the temperature is in American politics. That's how out of control the culture war is in this country. It wouldn't have surprised me if Jake didn't make it out of there with his life. So I understand his frustration. I really do. And I agree. Where are the counter protests? I mean, the fact that he was out there alone, the fact that these protests are taking place, and I'm not calling for violence. See, and this is where there's a very fine line that we have to confront. I'm not saying that counter protesters should come out there and you know, look for violence. But the fact that this country only has about 150,000 to 200,000 split between Republicans and Democrats in statewide elections, like, let's say, President Trump, for example, in 2024, he lost by, you know, about 150,000 votes on paper. Where are all these Republicans? Where are all these conservatives? Where are all these Christians? Where are all these, you know, people, libertarian, whatever you are? Where are the MAGA and America Firsters? Where are these people? And I said this before, and I'll say this again here tonight. People ask me all the time, why do black people vote Democrat? You know, so religiously? Why do black people vote Democrat so consistently? Why do minorities vote Democrat so consistently? And the obvious, you know, default response is, well, they're in on the expansion of the federal government through social programs and, you know, welfare, like the Somali community here, obviously. I mean, we see the numbers. We can't hide it. We can't dance around it. We can't say it any other way than it is. A good portion, a majority of Somalis are on government assistance or some type of government funding. So, but why do they, what about the narrative? We're not talking about the votes and the, you know, the fruit that comes from voting a particular way. What about it culturally draws people to vote the way that they do? People have an intuition of who the bullies are. When you're a kid and you step onto the playground, you know who the dominant kids are. Or if you don't, you find out real quick, and you might find out by getting knocked upside the head. And so when people identify who the dominant individuals are or who the powerful group is, of course, out of self-preservation in a lot of cases, they're going to go along with who they think has the power. And that is the buried lead here. I'm going to talk about this for the rest of the 2 hours that I have. And we're going to go deep, as deep as you can possibly go. That is the buried lead here, is that a lot of these people are nihilistic, yes. A lot of them are self-loathing and self-hating, yes. They hate their lives. They're depressed. They're in despair. A lot of them are on drugs, yes. But a good portion of the people who side with them, let's say online, or may fall on the same side of the line at a poll during an election, a lot of them are siding with who they think has the power, who they intuit are the bullies. We get it backwards. We look at these, you know, pink and purple and green haired, you know, transgender Antifa type of folks, and we go, these people are dumb. You know, they're detached from reality. And more or less, they're soft. You know, they're not tough people. You know, they're kind of snowflakes. They're emotionally soft. We get that. And so we talk about them in that way. But as a collective, they're strong. As a collective, they're a formidable force. And as a collective, a political collective, a political coalition across this country, they give off the sense of dominance. And this what Jake is saying, you know, whether you agree with the details of it or not, what he's saying is that him being out there in the street by himself indicates something. It's a signal. And the signal is, as much as we talk about America First and MAGA and patriotism in 1776, Minnesota right now, Minneapolis is the center of American political culture. And the Republican Party or the right wing or the conservative movement or Christians or MAGA or America First are disproportionately underrepresented. That's the truth. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I have half, even though I'm running for United States Senate, and I dare say, you guys know what would happen if I went out there. I mean, I know what would happen. I'd be in a fight in about 15 minutes. I think I'd do good in a fight, to be honest.
You're a pretty big, scary guy. Those, I don't know if they'd mess with you, but there are.
Yeah. But they would. I mean, when you get a mob, Alex, of 1,000 people, people start to have courage they wouldn't normally have individually. So I'd get in a fight, you know, and I'd back a lot of people off. But there's the possibility that even a mob of 50 people could take me down. Now, I'd probably go out there with about 10 or 15 other people as well. But my point
Hold on,
is—
we got to go to break. Listen, yeah, speaking of that—
Go ahead.
And by the way, you're welcome to come host the show this week. I'm not trying to accommodate your time. You understand some urgency.
Yeah, no.
I talked to Nick Sornor. He's going to come on with both of us for about 10 minutes right now. Exclusive.
Great. Let's do it.
First interview. All right, folks. I was getting ready, writing headlines, and Nick called me back. And he's got a new phone. They stole his phone. We're talking to Nick Sornor straight ahead. He's got mugged, and the left all attacked him after that. We'll be right back with a Star reporter. Stay with us.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I've known Nick Swerdlor since he was the main journalist, the only one that cared, really, about the derailment of the train and the chemical leak that Biden didn't care about. And he does a Sunday show with InfoWars. He's a good friend of mine. And he's right up there with Nick Shirley and others at the top of the food chain when it comes to independent journalists, literally under physical attack. He's been attacked by Antifa, you name it. The police arrest him in Portland. He's filing suit against them, has filed suit. Well, just a few hours ago, this just broke in the last 30 minutes, right as the sun was setting in Minneapolis, he got assaulted by a Somali who ran off and drug him behind his car, similar to Officer Ross, and stole his camera and other things. And so he exclusively joins us here from the frozen wasteland. Before we go to him, here's raw footage of what just happened.
Hey!
Oh, shit. Okay, it's okay.
took Nick's camera. She just stole Nick's camera.
And his hand is inside the car. Good God.
No, give him the camera. Give him the camera.
Just tell her to give him the camera back. What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Now the
right
lady's attacking.
You're in the car?
That's what the fuck you wanted, right? That's what the fuck you wanted, right?
That's what you did.
Man, listen, motherfucker. You get the fuck up out of here.
My daughter.
You fucking coward.
Mom.
Motherfucker, you a coward, hey, bitch.
You have to leave.
You a fucking coward. Back. You rob you, motherfucker. Get the fuck up out of here.
$1,000
bitch. You fucking coward. You a fucking coward, motherfucker.
Nobody
motherfucker, you trying to incite that shit.
Nobody stepped in.
Get the fuck up out of here, bro.
$1,000
worth of equipment. You bitch.
Did you call 911? Anybody call 911?
Much less almost killing him. And these cowards know who he is because he shows them.
We're not Nazis and we're not racist. I condemn him.
Nick is the opposite of a coward.
I condemn all racism.
Man, they got so much trash. It's everywhere, though. But, I mean, they have bred this in Minnesota with a welfare and a liberalism. It's like Jawas in Star Wars here. People are so arrogant.
It doesn't matter. We're allowed to be here. It's the United States of America.
That's the thing about this third world crap, folks. They're driving us out.
We're not leaving until we get the camera. You want us to leave? Give us the camera. Call your friend. Get the camera back. And we'll leave.
They're so used to hunting us. Ilhan Omar talks about the danger of the police state. Her family ran the government, killed 200,000 people, and genocided to run here. Nick Sordor, I appreciate the exclusive. I know you're exhausted. You're still out there in the wasteland in the middle of the night. Or in the middle of the evening, you've got the floor. Tell us what happened. Tell us what's unfolded. Obviously, you've been calling for Trump to declare the Insurrection Act. Now, with everything else we're seeing, invading and attacking innocent churches, trying to kill Jake Lang, attacking anybody wearing American flags, beating up random white people because they look like ICE, IT workers. I mean, this, I've never seen anything like this. These people are crazed. Nick, and we got Ride the Shotgun, the host of this show with me, and of course, the great Royce White, who is a very popular talk show host up in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. So he's there with you. And Nick Sordor, we're glad you survived this. Forget the $1,000 camera. Look like you were like running 40 miles an hour beside that car. You ought to get to the Olympics there or something, brother.
Yeah, well, Alex, I'll tell you, the reason that I was running with the vehicle is because they had my hand trapped in the door. That's why. I was running for my life is what I was doing more than I was running for the camera. And now, I mean, you can see, so like when I grabbed onto it and it twisted my hand in there and it just recently stopped bleeding. They treated it at the scene after, I mean, you had EMT, like two fire trucks showed up before any cops did. They treated it at the scene. It still just recently stopped bleeding, like I said, but my hand got turned in the door and stuck. And so when I was running along, it was because I was trying, you know, not to fall under the vehicle, not to start being, you know, like physically dragged sideways. And the only reason that I got my hand free is because the door handle ended up breaking from dragging me. And I ended up, obviously I didn't get the camera back. That camera is never coming back. The Minneapolis police are, they basically blamed me for this. I still have the strap on my wrist here from the camera. It was tied to my wrist, but the force, they used so much force on me, ripping it out of my hand that it broke the strap too. Minneapolis police basically told me that I needed to get out of there because I was just my presence in general is harassment to them. They called the police and said that I was dragging people down the road. That was the actual dispatch call from Somalis. We actually have that recording that I'll post here in a bit. So that was the initial call.
By the way, Nick, let me be clear. I know your hand got caught. I know you got hurt. I wasn't criticizing you. I was saying after they almost killed you, you were like worried about the camera. And to be clear, now that I watch the footage, the car was clearly going about 40 by the end. You weren't running at that time. You were skiing on the ice in the footage. You were literally skiing.
Yeah, and they were driving on a sidewalk. They were driving down a sidewalk, dragging me down that sidewalk. And honestly, like it was to the point where you could see that tree that I was about to end up being between. I mean, it's just, it could have ended much, much worse than it did. And, you know, nobody stepped in to help me. Nobody at all. They all just watched. And actually, they were cheering it on. You know, that's the sort of people that we're dealing with out here. These are people that are telling me to get off of their turf. You've got to be kidding me. These third world invaders are telling me that I got to get out of my own country, you know, under threat of death.
Well, yeah, they weren't just it. They were threatening you again and saying, get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, the police showed up 35 minutes later and they didn't do anything. They have these guys, it's all on video and I'll post it later. I recorded this part on my phone. Where they're telling me, like, oh, yeah, come back later and see what happens. See what happens.
Well, I'll be honest. I'll be honest. I'm not trying to act tough. And I know Royce White's a giant, you know, big, tough guy in his own right, MMA, NBA. I'm scared to go up there because I've had my ticket almost bought. I can't take it, man. These people get my – start. I'm going to go crazy. And then some Soros DA is going to throw my ass in prison. Royce White, you got any comments for Nick Sordo who just survived this?
Nick, how long are you in town for, brother?
Well, you know, I was funny enough, I was supposed to leave tomorrow night, but now I've extended my stay another week. I'm not leaving here. Yeah, this is what these people don't understand. The more you screw with me, which they continue to do, the longer I stay, and the worse this gets for them. So I was going to go back home for a few days and, like, regroup back in D.C., but no, we're not doing that now. We're going balls to the wall out here. I'm going to bring more people out here with me.
Yeah, you need to bring Royce White with you. He's pretty intimidating.
Yeah I'll get your number from Alex, and I'll get your number from Alex, and I'll come out there with you. Quick question here: Where were you in this video? Was this down by Cedar Riverside? Is that the area you were in?
Yep. It was Cedar Riverside, and funny enough, I didn't actually know that this was a Somali neighborhood. All I knew was that it was where I figured it out very quickly after I got there. But what I knew was that this neighborhood had there was a New York Post article from the other day saying that the Biden administration accidentally gave them $35 million. And so I wanted to go see what this place looks. The place looks from the interstate like a mixture of a Middle Eastern and Soviet era tower. You can't miss it as you drive by on the interstate. And so I recognized it from the New York Post article. So I had to go by and look at it. And lo and behold, it's like the capital of the Somali colony here in Minneapolis, Cedar Riverside.
In the entire United States, actually. Cedar Riverside, highest concentration of Somalis in the state of Minnesota for sure, but by way of the whole country, you know. So another question for you, and you've been on top of this for weeks and weeks now. What sense do you get since you've been out there in the streets? What is the main spirit of protest? I mean, are they protesting that we should allow illegal immigrants into this country, or is there a polyglot of other protests like Free Palestine, LGBTQ rights, climate change? What are you seeing out there on the street? Is it just about the illegal immigration and ICE, or are you hearing a mixture of all protests from the left come together?
For the most part, it's all about it's all anti-ICE stuff. And the reason for that being, I mean, the Democrats have decided that this is going to be the ultimate battleground out here, because if they lose this battle, then they're probably going to lose the war, this deportation war. Right. But on the other hand, if we lose this battle, if we patriots lose this battle, then we lose the deportation war as well. And that's terrifying.
100%. It's about the apportionment for the new members of Congress. It's about the permanent underclass. Absolutely. I'm going to let Royce White take over here. I commandeered this in Nick Sordor. And this is going to be obviously huge news tonight, giant news tomorrow. You've been calling for Trump to call out, you know, the military. He's got 1,500 Arctic troops that have come in from Alaska ready to deploy. He's got to declare the insurrection. When the police don't protect the people, when the governor and the mayor allow all this to go on, this is the Constitution. This isn't overriding the Constitution. This is enforcing it, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, 100%. It's gotten to the point where I my crime out there, keep in mind, I was robbed in my vehicle. I never got out of the car. They like you say, if you see in the video, they opened my door, stole my camera, and we're able to run away with it. So it's not like I was walking down the street even. Like it's like at first I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to be, carjacked or something? I mean, it was crazy to think about. And then the police are telling me that, you know, you shouldn't be in this neighborhood. It's like, okay, why don't you guys take back the neighborhood? You're the police.
Well, so they're telling you that it's an Islamic no-go zone for reporters in America. And so just be clear, describe it, because, you know, a lot more happens we don't see on tape. You're sitting there, and what happens? Your door opens, somebody grabs your camera.
Yeah, so what had happened was, at the time, somebody ran up to the vehicle. It was security guards from the building itself saying that I wasn't allowed to be there on a public street. And so we were having that conversation, and the Somalis, like, swarmed and then, like, opened the door and yanked. It was all such it all happened so quickly. And you know, of course, I ran after. They tried to block me from – they all saw what happened. They're cheering it on. And they easily could have stopped it from happening. But no, they were all for it. It's mob rule out here. They know the police aren't going to do anything about it because this is now their territory. They've claimed it, and it's been ceded over to them. This is no longer American soil in their mind. This is their turf and only their turf.
I remember last week you're being followed just trying to cover the demonstrations down where the good lady got killed, being a human shield for the illegal aliens, trying to ram the officer Ross. And they follow you around for like 30 minutes, hitting you, throwing ice at your head. And you call 911 and talk to them for like 20 minutes. And they just say, nah, we're not going to help you. You shouldn't be there. So now you're telling me this is a major civil rights lawsuit, by the way, folks. You're already suing Portland for arresting you when you got assaulted by Antifa. This is a huge civil rights issue. Another reason for the Insurrection Act. The police, word for word, and if I know you, I bet you recorded it. You just haven't had time to get it out yet. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
You have them saying you're the troublemaker getting mugged.
Yes, absolutely. They said you shouldn't be here and that you need to get out of this area immediately because they said that I was harassing them by being there. And so that and basically they were justifying me being robbed by saying that I was harassing people just for being out there. Again, I never got out of the vehicle. All I was doing was driving on a public street and that was the crime.
That's so, like somebody, yeah, and I mean, that's like, in a, you know, in a few places it happened, it was wrong. It didn't happen a lot, but too many times, hundreds of times, being like in Alabama in 1959, and, well, we lynched this black man. He should have been walking around after dark on the street. You're like, what are you doing, a white man walking around? What are you doing in a car here? I mean, this is insane.
Nick. Yeah, white people have no civil rights protections in the United States of America at this point. You are automatically the aggressor just by being white. I mean, I hate to make it. I'm not trying to make it about race out here, man. But the first thing they ask you when you call the police, it's not really, are you in a safe place? They ask you, are you white, black, or Somali? White, Hispanic, black, or Somali. Those are the four options they gave me. And I mean, I have to sit there and tell you, yeah, I'm white. I mean, I should start telling them I'm Somali. Maybe they'll show up.
Royce, you lived there your whole life. I know it's gotten really bad just in the last few decades. What the hell's going on with the police? I guess they're under control of that evil mayor and governor.
Yeah. I mean, institutions take on their leadership, and we have a crisis of leadership. Crisis of leadership, failure of citizenship. You know, it's horrifying to see as a Minnesotan. Obviously, I'm running for United States Senate to try and change some of that, and I hope Mike Lindell is victorious in governor. If that happens, then you'll see swift changes, you know, coming from us and, you know, as representatives of the MAG and America First movement. But, you know, there's a cultural rot here. And I want to say I thank Nick and I thank Jake for being brave enough to go out there in the streets. And when Nick and I get connected, I'll gladly come out there with you as well, brother. But I want to make emphasize this to people. Color revolutions never end in chaos. We have to understand what's really going on here. Color revolutions never end in chaos. There will be a king that ascends to the throne. The chaos, the sense of chaos, the sense of fear, the sense of lawlessness is a weapon. It's a cultural weapon aimed at us to bully us and to get us to surrender,
right.
To get
we
us to be afraid
to
come out.
Engaged. You're about to take over. Absolutely great job. Royce White, closing comments. Nick Sordor about where all this is going. This is going to be a giant story on top of everything else. You got the Jake Lang thing, all of this. I mean, this is a lawless city out of control. This was done by the Democrats by design.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is going to backfire tremendously on them. I think that this is something that, well, they're going to be probably messaging me and be like, hey, we found this camera. Yeah, do you want it back by chance? We're doing goodwill, and you can find it at daycare center. I mean, that's probably something that's gonna end up happening because they don't want this smoke, Alex. I mean, like, even on your platform, this is gonna blow up, man. And this is Cam Higby, who I had on my show earlier here on InfoWars. And he was actually there. He's the guy that recorded the entire thing going down. And
Cam, I recognize Cam. Cam, what do you make of this insanity?
I mean, it's anarcho-tyranny out here. They control the streets. They direct traffic. The MPD always intentionally shows up after the action's over, so they don't have to do anything about it. They can just say they have a bunch of reports stacked up and they have to go to respond to other things.
They had the license plate number with the address, so they knew where and we had the make and model of the vehicle.
They told us they had a match.
Yeah.
They knew who it was. And also, like, these people are just surrounding the car telling us we have to leave. We don't belong here. You know, we're not welcome.
That's just like the cops protecting the KKK before. Same story.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, it's to the point where, you know, we believe that that vehicle was from Cedar Riverside. Yeah, we believe that, and which is still the neighborhood we were in. This is like a massive Soviet-style apartment complex, Alex. It's not. It only spans like two or three blocks, but it has a bunch of high rises in it that it looks like a third world country.
No, I've seen it, guys. Pull it up. It's massive. It looks like Russia or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, say the name. I just saw that like last week, and I saw the big, huge apartment buildings. What's the name again?
Cedar Riverside.
Cedar Riverside, Minneapolis, Minnesota, housing projects, basically. And that's the one that's like 100% Somali, yeah. So it's
100% Somali.
Only they live there because only let you live there. So in closing, do you think they knew it was you, or did they just thought, oh, a white guy came in here, let's rob him?
They were yelling over the Cam actually probably has it on video at some point. They were yelling... that's Nick, that's Nick, that's Nick on their little ICE they were watch confused. Radio thing.
Some of them thought we were ICE. Some of them knew it was Nick. Some of them probably just saw white guys in the neighborhood and wanted us out.
So how fast did they recognize you? That's good intel. How fast?
We were there for like 10 minutes and they started following. I mean, we hadn't done anything. We were there for like 10 minutes and already we had a convoy of cars behind us honking.
Five, six vehicles. Yeah, I mean, like, this is the ugliest place you've ever seen. And I'm just going to be honest. Like, I have now declared war on Cedar Riverside, the Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis. However, I mean, in reality, they declared war on me. It's just, it's not going to go particularly well for them. And you know, so you see them, they all wear masks. They surround this liberal white woman right here started the whole thing. She's the one that called us out. And I was showing her at one point, you know, when they actually, this is where it all kind of started there. This is Kev's video, I believe. Yeah. And so she kept saying, I'm not white. I'm not white. I'm not white. And she's clearly white. Like liberal white women that are, there's something wrong with them, Alex. I don't know. It's like they're diseased. It's like they've been programmed to hate themselves. And so she wouldn't even, she's like there all day long, just patrolling the neighborhood. Like she's some sort of guard.
West Bank.
Oh, they call themselves the West Bank, Safety Patrol. Jeez. Which is interesting.
Where hype is thus.
Have you heard the new name for them that they really hate and really don't like? It's called Awful, AWFUL, affluent white female urban liberal.
The Awfuls, yep.
All right, well, hey, Nick, you guys both be safe because there's really a bigger target. But link up with Royce White. If it's okay, I'll give him your new number. And if you got time tomorrow, pop in. But thank you so much. And just, wow, what a time to be alive. God bless you.
Appreciate you, Alex. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Royce, I apologize for commandeering your time. I know you've always said that's okay. But you got over an hour now to break things down. I also want to get you to guest host an hour this week. Royce White, we love you. Take over.
Thank you, brother. Great Nick Sorter there. Shocking footage from right here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been saying it for 2 years, and I told you souls never feel good in these moments. We're going to talk about the entirety of what's going on here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, as a signal for what's going on all across the country over the next hour. It's an honor to be back this weekend. Wish it was under better circumstances. I really do. And honestly, I mean, I've been waking up in the middle of the night disturbed for the last 2-3 nights because, I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the energy. It's very possible that Minnesota becomes the first state of the second Civil War, the second American Civil War.
By the way, I said I was going, but I agree with you. My spider sense has never been wrong in my life. I've never had so much anxiety. I cannot even sleep at night now. It's not just Minnesota. It's everything. Are you feeling it too?
Absolutely. I mean, we're right. We're right up on the edge. I mean, it's the constitutional crisis. It's the things that are going on geopolitically. It's what happened here in Minneapolis. I mean, the circumstances are ripe for the whole thing to blow. And I hope that we can, you know, if I can add anything, hopefully I can be a voice of reason. That's why I keep trying to talk to, you know, not the leftists, because we can't reason with them at all. They're unwilling to listen to logic. But there are some people over there that I think are held hostage, psychologically hostage, to things that they just haven't thought through. I mean, I don't mean your awful liberal white women. I don't mean the awfuls that are out there in the street and they're guarding for the Palestinians that don't even live in the neighborhood. I'm not talking about them. But there are people that vote Democrat religiously because they listen to CNN or they look at the headlines in passing and they've gotten their political philosophy from their college or their high school or their kindergarten or wherever they got it from, their parents, grandparents, whatever it is. These people don't even really understand what they are participating in. And I know because I come from some of those communities and I watch these people not really engage in politics. And that's what I'm going to talk about on the other side of this break here. We got about a minute and a half left, but understand people are in a world where people are fake and life is becoming more fake because it's becoming more digital and individuals are having trouble connecting with other individuals on any meaningful level, much less themselves. People are having trouble connecting with themselves on a meaningful level. They are desperate to try and jump on to something. To you know, be involved or part of something. That's the psychological weapon that's being waged against this country right now. People who have been subject to a digital, mind virus culture. They've been subject to it for their whole life.
They were born into it. It's brainwashing. It's brainwashing. You nailed it.
Right, and they don't even know. They think Emily in Paris, OnlyFans, cocaine, revolution. I'm Che Guevara, and they have the theme music playing in their head.
One battle after the next, all the movies. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. There's like a theater playing in their head, and they have the music, and they have their role. And the scary part is they're willing to die in the drama. Usually an actor is like, you know, not a method actor. These people are method actors, some of them are method actors. Some of them are just looking to be a part of something. And that's why I think cooler heads will prevail. The Insurrection Act should be declared. And I think when the boys roll in, you'll see that cooler heads prevail. People go back to their vices in their everyday life. But all of the circumstances are right for this thing to blow and be the tipping point of the second Civil War. We have to have some voices of reason now step up and say, let's talk about what we're really even doing here. And what we want to do going forward. I'll be back on the other side of the break. Royce White, I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects, being studied, and traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.